Our unison reading is from Colossians 1, verses 1 through 14. You'll find this on page 199 of the New Testament portion of the Pew Bible. Let's have a word of prayer. God, let your word speak to us now as your spirit fills us, equipping us to do your work and to show your love to others around us. To the glory of Christ we pray. Amen. So let us read together. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. In our prayers for you, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. You have heard of this hope before in the words of the truth, the gospel that has come to you. Just as it is bearing fruit and growing in the whole world, so it has been bearing fruit among yourselves from the day you heard it and truly comprehended the grace of God. This you learn from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and he has made known to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, as you bear fruit in every good work, and as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Hear now God's word as it comes from Luke's gospel, chapter 10, beginning with verse 25. Familiar story of the Good Samaritan. A lawyer stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said to him, what is written in the law? What do you read there? He answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said to him, you've given the right answer. Do this, and you will live. But wanting to justify himself, the lawyer asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, a man was going down to Jerusalem, from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him, bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him, and when I come back, I'll repay you for whatever money you spend. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The lawyer said, the one who showed him mercy. Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. The word of the Lord. We seem to be better at talking about what God has done for us and for our salvation than we are at describing what God requires of us, expects of us. And God calls us to a radically different way of seeing people, treating people, relating to people, responding to people than the world does. And over the next few weeks, our readings from Luke's gospel are going to challenge us to act on what we believe in ways that are fitting to the gospel, to change the way we respond to people. In return for all that God has done for us, what does God expect or require of us? The story of Mary and Martha will call us to stop and listen to Jesus. The story of the friend knocking on the door, the neighbor knocking at your door at midnight, will emphasize the being persistent in prayer. And the rich man with a barn full of goods but an empty soul is going to remind us to tend to your soul. Today's action is to call us to love unconditionally. What must I do to inherit eternal life? So who is my neighbor? Both are profound questions, and Jesus confounds the lawyer with his response. What must I do to inherit eternal life? You know, good teachers cringe when we ask them that kind of question. What do I have to do to get an A in this class? What do I have to do to pass this class? Is this going to be on the test? They hate those kind of questions because we're asking, you know, what's the minimum requirement? What's the least I have to do? Just give me the formula to pass the class. They prefer to hear us ask, what will I learn in this class? What can I do with that? How will I improve, and what can I do to get the most out of this class? But the lawyer just asks, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? And so then Jesus tells this parable of the Good Samaritan, showing that our obligation to engage in acts of mercy include all people, not just select people. And so the lawyer asks his follow-up question, who is my neighbor? Hoping to kind of qualify, maybe even quantify, the ethical demands of the law. But Jesus' answer points out it's not whom we should serve, but that we serve. The issue is not how we see others, even when we say, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. It's not just how we see them, but how we act, how we respond to them, how we treat them, how we act toward them. Because compassion is not just something we feel, it's something we do. So Jesus turns the question back on the lawyer. Don't just ask who your neighbor is. Ask yourself, am I being a neighbor? Don't worry about the other guy. Focus on being a neighbor. And which of the three do you think proved to be the neighbor? And you notice the lawyer can't even bring himself to say the Samaritan. The man who showed mercy. Right. You've done well, Jesus said. Go thou, you go, and do likewise. And you will inherit eternal life. Only the catch is, you must do that all the time for all people. Love people, show them mercy, forgive them, treat them well, help them. That's the way God loves you, you know, he's saying. That's the way you're to love God with all of your heart and soul and mind and strength, all that you are. And you're to love your neighbor the same way. And yourself the same way. Do you love people like that? To that extent? All the time? Perfectly? Are you able to do that? Of course not. Who of us can love perfectly like that? None of us. Nor can we perfectly obey the commandments. And hence, the only way to inherit eternal life, Jesus will tell the rest of the story, is to ask God's mercy, ask God's forgiveness, accept God's grace in Christ. And because God perfectly loves you, God grants you mercy. God shows you love. He forgives you, He restores you, and He gives you eternal life. So who is my neighbor is the wrong question. Everyone's your neighbor. The question is, who are you? Are you neighborly? It's sharing the love that makes you a neighbor. You know, the Samaritan is ceremonially unclean. He's a social outcast. He's a religious heretic. And so the Samaritan is the opposite of the sanitized, righteous lawyer and priest and Levite. He's the last person the lawyer expected to be the hero of the story. And he must have shocked the crowd with this story. And I wonder if Jesus intended to shock them out of their complacency. He kind of shatters the criteria of who is and who is not a child of God. God loves you without prejudice, without preference, without partiality. God just loves His children. And we are to love unconditionally too, or at least try to, expecting nothing in return. And not just loving when it's convenient and you get a return. Love your neighbor as yourself, Jesus said. Now, what does that mean in practical terms? How do I love myself? How do you love yourself? Let's start by saying what it's not. Loving yourself is not gratifying your every whim, satisfying your every desire, giving in to every temptation, every wish, every demand, and just showering yourself with whatever you want. And neither are you obligated to gratify your neighbor's every desire. And loving myself does not mean I accept everything I do. I sin, I fail, I falter. Nevertheless, I can still love myself. I can still accept myself as a child of God, just as you can. And loving my neighbor does not mean that I approve of everything my neighbor does. I don't have to pretend that my neighbor is perfect, or pretend that he or she is better than he or she really is, or that he or she is nice when he or she is not. So then what is loving your neighbor and yourself? It means you choose to do what is best for your neighbor. Choosing to do what is right for your neighbor. Because love is not just emotions, it's not just feelings. It's not that you have warm affection for your neighbor or the stranger. It's action. It's choosing to love. Sometimes it's an act of the will, to will what is best for the other and to act accordingly. It's doing things both small and large that help others. So here's a way to try it this week. You can take a clue from the children. Pick someone, doesn't matter whether you like him or her or not. Simply pick a person and act as though you did love him or her. Do something nice, write a note, draw a picture, put on your work gloves, write a note, go visit, do something helpful and loving and compassionate for someone else. You may be amazed at what happened. You may come to like that person a little bit more, or to at least to understand that other person a little bit more. And the more you like her, the more you'll help her, the more you even care about him. understand him, respect her, but be careful because the opposite works too. Do something unloving to that person. Criticize him, her, treat him or her poorly, slight him, ignore her. Do her a bad turn or speak poorly of him or disrespect her, and sure enough, you'll dislike him or her a little bit more and make it easier to do it next time. And the more you dislike them and distance yourself, you start to distance yourself from them and no longer feel the strong connection or an obligation. That's why the second commandment, to love your neighbor as yourself, is so important in everyday life. It's one small thoughtless act is twice as hard to regain your ground and to regain the trust. But take a single step forward in love and trust and faithfulness and service, and you start to establish that bond and enrich that bond. Makes it all the easier, all the richer. And you may end up loving your neighbor as you never thought possible. It may be an individual person, maybe a group of people, maybe the one you think is a sworn enemy. I'm going to seek to understand him, them. But I think this parable probably shocked his hearers, especially this questioner. The violence done to the traveler was shocking. He was stripped, beaten, robbed, left for dead in the ditch. The priest and the Levite come by, and they don't stop. The most shocking of all is this despised Samaritan who, at his own parable, on his own peril, takes the chance of stopping to help. Help remember who we discussed this week describing the parable? Kenneth Bailey? Ken Bailey said, it's like an American Indian taking the cowboy who has been beaten and scalped into town, into Dodge City, and leaving him there. Who's going to escape that town unscathed? Most likely not the Indian. The Samaritan risks doing this compassionate work. It's the hated enemy who's proved to be the hero. Because the point of the parable is not who deserves our care and our help, but the action required of us to love others unconditionally, to treat others we encounter, no matter how frightening, how alien, how naked, how defenseless, with compassion. You answer right, Jesus said. Go and do likewise. Who proved to be the neighbor? The lawyer's answer, your answer, my answer, our answer, makes all the difference in the world because it puts us in the ditch with the wounded man. And you're never the same once you've been in the ditch. Sometimes we're the beaten man. Sometimes we're the priest and the Levite. Sometimes we're the good Samaritan. We do well and you feel good. Sometimes we're the lawyer. And sometimes loving our neighbor is difficult. And it's demanding. And we have to decide to love. And sometimes we struggle to love ourselves. But this parable is not just about being nice and doing kind and good, helpful deeds for other people. It's about being wounded and vulnerable, claiming our own pain and the pain of others in a way you seek to understand. We learn how to love our neighbors by entering into the pain of the man who got mugged and tossed aside, and as well as the pain of the crowd who walked and saw but didn't know what to do. But when you're down, and we've been tossed aside, or when you're lost, or you're confused, or when you're in the ditch, we know what it's like to need a neighbor and want a neighbor and not know where to turn for a neighbor. In that experience of needing a neighbor, you learn how to be a neighbor. And more than just knowing the right thing to do, it's doing the right thing. But when you have God's love in your heart, when Jesus lives in your heart, He enables you to show compassion and to overrule your emotions and to show compassion to yourself, to accept yourself and to accept others. And when you realize how much mercy God has shown you, how much God has forgiven you, how dare we not show compassion to others and refuse to forgive them? Our compassion has to be tangible. No doubt the priest and the Levite felt pity for the man. They saw him. They knew what he was up against. But they didn't stop. Probably for good reasons, but sometimes reason gives way to compassion. Compassion, to be real, must prompt action. So who is your neighbor? Just look around. Your neighbors are all around you. Just look around. I can't get them to look around. Just look around. They sit in the pews beside you. They worship with you. They're in class with you. They live on your street. They go to school with you. They go to work with you. You see them in the store when you shop. You see them in the restaurants where you eat, wherever you volunteer. Quite simply, your neighbor are the people all around you every day. And loving others and helping others and showing mercy makes us more like Christ. But we know that demonstrating compassion is difficult. But when you do, the victories and the rewards are wonderful. You are becoming more Christ-like. You feel a sense of worth in what you've done. When other people's needs are met and their lives are saved and God is glorified, we become more like Christ and we are serving Him as we wish. So Jesus ends this parable with a simple question and then a simple command. Which of the three showed mercy? Go do likewise. The question that challenges me is not who's my neighbor, but am I being neighborly? Am I demonstrating that compassion? Am I showing mercy? The onus is on me, not the one in need. Sometimes we're the wounded one and Jesus is the Good Samaritan. We're beaten or beat down. We're broken, just half dead. We're just in the ditch, in need of mercy and forgiveness. And Jesus is moved by compassion, the Gospels tell us over and over. He's moved with compassion to help this person, this crowd, this city. He's moved with compassion to help us, to rescue us, even to die for us on the cross in order to give us forgiveness of sins and life everlasting. His mercy is extravagant. His living sacrifice is amazing. And then He dares to ask the same of us. Jesus Christ loves you, and He calls you to come to Him whenever you might to receive His mercy and His love and His attention and His compassion. Receive the mercy and the peace that He offers. And then do the same for the person you meet. Because the action required is to love unconditionally. It's not about who your neighbor is, it's about you. Are you being a neighbor? God, thank You for helping us. In Christ our Lord, amen.